You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about relationships. We're talking about sex. We're talking about the concept of being in a relationship, being in a sexual relationship with a borderline. And I know some people out there are asking, what the heck are you talking about? I'm talking about borderline personality disorder and sex tonight. And how to know if you're having sex and if you're in a sexual relationship with someone that has borderline personality disorder. It's important for you to know. And the reason why it's important for you to know is you're going to figure out a lot of things about the sex, and you're going to figure out a lot of things about the relationship, and it's going to put a lot of things into perspective. Because with anything to do with borderline, when you're dealing with someone with borderline personality disorder, there's a lot of questions because you don't really know what's going on. And because you don't know what's going on, it's hard to assimilate. It's hard to put it together. It's hard to understand what to honestly do next. And a lot of times, this not knowing can add to the interest and the angst and maybe the sexual prowess of the relationship. But it can also cause stress and strain. And so let's talk tonight, because even if you're not in a sexual relationship now with a borderline, you might have been. And the interesting concept behind that is, if you're married now and you are in a relationship with somebody that I'm going to explain here in just a second, if you were in a relationship with that, throughout your marriage or throughout your current relationship, you might constantly think about this type of person. You might constantly think about what happened with this previous person. And there's a definite reason for it. There's a reason for it. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk tonight about sexual relationships with borderline personality disorder, what you need to know, and why you remember it so. So let's talk about that. Let's begin tonight where how in the beginning, it was fireworks. In the beginning with the borderline, when you're dealing with a borderline and you're having sex, it is absolute fireworks on July 4th weekend. This is the end-all be-all to the sexual revolution. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been in a relationship with several borderlines before, and I can tell you one thing, wowzer. It is the way it is. Now, borderline can apply to both men and women, okay? A lot of times men get off easy because a lot of the medical journals out there don't ever really bring y'all up in it. They don't ever talk about men having it, but you know what? There's an option for either women or men to have it. And it's interesting because it applies differently for the man, it applies differently for the woman, but at the same point in time, there's the same characteristics, the same type of arguments, and a type of sexual pattern that I want to talk about tonight. So let's talk about in the beginning of these relationships, it is fireworks. And I'm not kidding you. When you meet a borderline, and you don't know it because you don't know it, because if you knew it, you'd be like, oh, holy hand grenade, Superman, I'm running down this hill. I'm running down this road. It's like Kate Bush. I'm running down the hill. I'm running down the road. I'm gonna run away fast. But instead we go, whoa, man, she's got it going on. Or, man, he's all that. Doggone it, what have I been doing my whole life? So in the beginning, it is total, complete fireworks. Sex is amazing. It's crazy. It's dynamic. It's the kind of sex that really crazy rated X films are about. It's the kind of stuff that you watch on XNXX. It's the kind of stuff that you could pay for on sites. Yes, that's the level of sex you're dealing with. And I know some people go, well, heck fire, sign me up. And, you know, I always hear men. I have a lot of friends that are guys. You know, I have a lot of guy friends. And it's always funny because one of the conversations that always comes up on Drink 3 is, you know what, sex with a crazy woman is the best sex ever. And I go, okay, a little more PC, but I guess it's right. To a degree, sex with anybody that's a little off kilter seems to be pretty good, but we lose out on something else. But in the beginning, the sex is amazing. You're trying out new things. I mean, it's just really wild and crazy. I mean, you can't even believe the stuff you're getting away with. I mean, you really can't. And I have some friends right now who are in relationships with borderlines. And one of my friends always talks about how, literally, it doesn't matter what time he gets home. It doesn't matter what time he gets home. He can get home from the bars and his friends at 2:30 in the morning. She's up for it. She's up for having sex. And he had been in a previous relationship for about 12 years. And that is not the way it rolled. It did not go that way. I mean, the wife was not all like, yeah, 2 a.m., oh, whatever. I've been asleep for 2 hours. Okay? And for most normal people, and for most people that don't have this, that's normal. That's a normal thing. But when people are dealing with borderline, sex is a big deal. And I'll tell you why the sex is so good, because this is something that we need to discuss, because the sex is good for a reason. And we'll get into that in just a second. But the sex is there for a reason. Now, think about it. When was the last time you were in a relationship with someone that the best part of the relationship was sex? Okay. You already know who that is. And so the best part of the relationship was sex. Everything else was kind of, well, kind of not so good. There's a lot of arguments, a lot of fighting, a lot of fussing, a lot of problematic situations, a lot of issues that didn't seem to get really resolved unless there was a big knockdown, drag-out fight. And these arguments can start about basically anything. I mean, this argument, when you're dealing with a borderline, can begin about the day. It could even begin about being vegan, for example. I was reading a dissertation of one of my colleagues about borderline personality disorder. And they were talking about a couple who, she was borderline, and I don't think that they actually went into detail about him, and they probably should have. However, again, I tell you, there's a slant, a medical slant type thing when it comes to the medical community about really realizing that men and women are equal and have the same problems, and they are unique. However, the medical community likes to look at the fact that women have borderline, and yes, we do agree that women do, but so do men. But anyway, this particular dissertation was talking about a female with borderline. And the female was in this relationship with this man, and they were having this amazing, tumultuous, insane sexual relationship. And he's a, you know, he was a very well-off type CEO, in charge, power guy that really fell sexually for this woman. And they had an amazing affair for, like, I don't know, about a couple of months. And 2 months in, they ended up having a big fight. And you'll never guess what the fight was about. So there they are sitting at the dinner table one night, and he says something about eating, and she says, well, you know, I'm vegan because of this, this, and that. And he just says, you know, well, I'm not vegan, and I think it's kind of stupid. That was it. I think they had a huge knockdown, drag-out fight. She cried. She threw stuff. She broke things. She said she hated him, never wanted to see him again. And that kind of happened again and again. They would break off, break on, do that kind of thing. But that would happen like every few days. And he always knew that he was going to have good sex and the sex was going to be amazing. But in between was going to be fighting and arguing about absolutely anything. And that's key. That's one of the indicators that you're in a relationship with a borderline, is that no matter what you say, you can come in and say, hello, how are you doing, honey? And it can start World War III. Let's flip-flop this. When you're dealing with a borderline, if you end up going out drinking with the boys and you get home at 2:30, she might be totally in love with you. And you know, the thing about the sex deal, that's the key, is that a lot of times when we have sex with somebody, we don't really think about the reasons why. We don't really think about it. I think we're making love. You know what I mean? We're making love. But when you're dealing with the borderline, you're not making love. And they aren't, for sure. They're not making love because it's about something totally different. And it's interesting because this relationship can feel very inconvenient. There's parts about this relationship that can feel very painful. There's parts of this relationship that will make you question the absolute reason why you're in the relationship. Because some of it is painful. Some of it is inconvenient. And it's interesting because the sex and the physical dynamic is usually what brings you toward a borderline. And in my past, the few times that I've dated a borderline, they were very attractive. Let's put it that way. Highly, highly attractive, at least to me. Okay? And it was just that thing. And when we started talking, they were very sexual. They were very dynamic. For women, when men are dealing with women, they can be kind of mysterious, very sexual. Almost like the damsel in distress as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can help them. Like, you can save them. And so it's not only the fact that it feels very sexual and very tantalizing and very erotic, because it's like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? I gotta have this woman. Oh my God. But it's also like, not only do I have to have her, but I can take care of her. She can be like my little girl. This is the one. This is it. And that is exactly what they're going for. And so when I return, I'm going to talk about what's really in the forefront of a borderline's mind when they're having the most amazing sex with you. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about relationships, sexual relationships, actually. Are you in a sexual relationship right now with a borderline? Borderline personality disorder is a specific disorder. And tonight we're talking about sexual relationships with them. And even if you're not in a relationship with them right now, this information can benefit you even hindsight. Because as they say, hindsight is 20/20, correct? But this will help you to deal with your current relationship. Because if you compare your sexual relationship with a borderline to your current relationship that's not borderline, you're comparing two different things. And the sex that you had with a borderline, or the sex that you're currently having with a borderline, you feel as though is the best sex you're ever going to have. It is erotic. It is edgy. It could be a little combination of violence and tying up and all this kind of stuff, all mixed and matched together to create some fireworks in the bedroom, the kitchen, the floor, the car, the office, in public, wherever y'all are doing it. Because if you're with the borderline, you're doing it everywhere. Okay? That's one of your keys too. I mean, exhibitionism, yeah, if they're just an exhibitionist, that's one thing. But when you're a borderline, you got the exhibitionism, you got the having sex anywhere. You could have sex on the top of a car, for God's sakes, okay? If she or he wants it, you're in. And the difference that makes is that a borderline's going to come back, and they're going to argue with you, and they're going to fight with you about the most random things and go completely to the next level. And, you know, let's talk about that thing, because I said that there was one thing that's in the forefront of every borderline's mind when they're having sex. It's on the forefront. It's the thing. It's the reason why the sex is so good. Okay, because there's a reason. It's not just because, you know, oh, honey, I just want to satisfy you at all times, and I want to make sure, baby doll, that you're having the best sex ever. No, it's not really about that. You know what it's about? It's that C word. It's about control. Yes. The reason why sex with a borderline is so absolutely amazing is because they want to control you. The way that they control you, in the bed, or on the couch, or at the club, or in the bathroom of the club, or on the top of the car. But they're going to control you that way, because especially men are easily controlled by sex, and women are too. Let's not BS it, okay? Both sexes can be controlled by sex. I've seen it countless times. I've seen it with clients where their parents were together for a long period of time. One of the spouses passes on, and the one that's alive ends up finding a companion, and the companion is somebody that nobody even understands why. Why would you pick this type of companion? For example, I have a friend of mine, and, you know, it's kind of like this concept of husband passes away, and she meets a guy, and he's got nothing going on, really, doesn't have a good job at all, but you know that the sex is a big key component, right? You know it. But on top of that, a borderline can suck you in so much that nobody understands why you're with them. Do you get what I'm saying? You got to have a buddy or a friend of yours that literally y'all go out and have drinks, or you see each other once a month, once a week, whatever, and they're constantly dating some girl that you have no idea why. Okay? Well, a lot of times you can go on and place borderline in this because it's true. Because a borderline is one of those people that can control from the inside out. And it's very interesting, too, because a borderline likes to, I don't like to use the word victim, but likes to keep that person to themselves if possible. They like to keep that person by themselves if possible, because it's almost like, it's a little bit of mind control, but it's complete control, because they want to be in control of that person. Because a lot of the reason why somebody is borderline is because they're scared of abandonment issues. And borderline, let me talk real quick, because if you've missed any of my past shows on borderline, I want to give you a quick rundown of traits that you can see. And you have to be aware of it, but that once you're aware of, you realize what you're dealing with a borderline. You know, a few of those are impulsiveness. And I know a lot of people go, well, heck fire, I'm impulsive all the time. Well, yeah, I know, but it's coupled with a few other things, okay? So you got impulsive, you got passive aggression. That's a big deal because they fight that way. They're very passive aggressive. They don't fight direct. They're not straight shooters at all. They're very passive aggressive, and to me, that's one of the things I just can't stand. I mean, that is something that just gets under my skin, okay? They're very aggressive. They lie. They stalk. They'll stalk you. They'll follow you around. They have a lack of empathy. They don't have a lot of self-worth. There might be drug and alcohol abuse. They might have a lot of affairs. They have a lot of rageful outbursts. There might be depression, suicidal ideation. And it's interesting because there's a lot of volatility. There's a possible lot of violence. And there's a lot of loving you and hating you. So there's a lot of splitting. So they can go from one extreme to the other. They can love you and they can hate you in the same moment. And a lot of times the hate, the driving of the violent hate, turns around, and in order to make up for the angry and the yelling comes the great sex. Okay? And you're just like, you're overdrawn with the sex. Like, you're like, boom, you know, you've forgotten about all the other stuff until guess what? 2 days from now, another violent outburst comes about and you're like, oh crap, here we go again. And you know what? It's going to continue to keep going the same. They also have this thing. It's like this black and white thinking. Everything is extremely one way or another. And they have selective memory. They really do. And I've been around actually people with borderline who have blackouts and they forget a lot. So you can have long conversations and you'll remind them about things that they said. They don't remember anything. And if they told you they were going to do something for you, and you remind them of it, they don't remember that either. Because again, remember, this is about control. This isn't about love. This is about controlling you, because the thing that's funny about borderlines is the only time they really go after you is when you're married, when you're in a marriage, and you're unable to settle down with them, or you live in another state. Those are the two things that borderlines love. If you're married and you can't leave your husband or wife for them, they're going to really do the hardcore press on you, okay? Because they always want what they can't have. The second part of that borderline is that if you aren't married and you're not settled down and they can have you, they'll take you as long as you live in another state and it's a long distance relationship. If you're convenient and you're around, That's not really a good strategy for you if you want to deal with a borderline. And the funny thing about a borderline, too, is that in the beginning, the sex is amazing. However, let's flip the tables because this will give you an example. If you have met a borderline and you actually got to meet that borderline before y'all had sex, you're probably not going to have sex. But they're going to talk about it a lot. They're going to flirt with you and they're going to talk about it a lot. And that's what's interesting about it, is it becomes like this self-sex talk all the time. And you know, I've been there where you're out at dinner and you're sitting there and you're sitting there going, what the heck is going on? And the person's just going on about some real, like, erotic talk. I mean, like, this stuff needs to be X-rated. Like, you're looking behind you, you're at the table at the restaurant looking to the left and looking to the right and hoping that the people at the table next to you aren't hearing what they're saying. I mean, seriously, I've been in one of those conversations before where I'm looking kind of back and forth. I'm looking a little behind me, I'm looking a little over my shoulder there, you know, when the waitress shows up and I don't catch it, I'm like, oh! You know what I'm saying? But then at the same point in time, you get up from the restaurant because they've been talking all this stuff and you expect one thing and they go, okay, hey, good night, see you later. It's control. It's all about the control. When we return, to be talking about sex, the borderline, and the withholding of sex. And this can be happening in present relationships right now. It could also be happening if you're married to a borderline. And also, we'll be talking about what it's like to compare the sex from a borderline relationship into your current relationship. Because you know what? This can cause problems. Because it's almost like, you know, when you're watching TV or you're watching kind of like, you know, Hollywood and all the stuff that they talk about, and so-and-so got caught and Charlie Sheen was there and he was having sex with four women and all this stuff. That's the level of the sex level that you're at. It's almost like you're smoking crack 24/7 with the borderline, right? So you can't compare crack and sex with your marriage if it's a normal marriage. And so there you are trying to compare the sex from a relationship that did not have a chance in hell to work. But you're comparing the sex and you're forgetting about all the other great things that are in your relationship that you should be thankful for. Okay? Because that's one thing. Because I know that some people look back at some of their borderline relationships and go, oh my God. I mean, that was better than, you know, I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey, but from what I heard about 50 Shades of Grey, a borderline relationship with a borderline, that sex probably better than 50 Shades of Grey, okay? So people sit there and compare it to that, and they're comparing their marriage where they got somebody that loving and caring and doesn't jump off the handle, doesn't go freaking violent on them, okay? They don't go freaky on them, but at the same time, they're not getting that freaky sex. And that's the key. And so when we return, we'll be talking more about them withholding sex as well as later on comparing the sex. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about being in a sexual relationship with somebody with borderline and how to know how to be able to detect it and how to deal with it. And so before, we've been talking about sex and how sex is used as control. You know, that's the thing about sex with a borderline, is that it's not about getting you off. It's not about all about you. It's about controlling you. Okay? And it's funny how we've heard in the past people talk about, well, she was controlling him with sex. That's not far off. Women and men that have borderline will control their victim, sexual partner, with sex. I'm telling you. And the reason that they can do this is because they pride themselves and they want to make sure that they're the best sex you've ever had. They want to be the best sex you've ever had so that you will compare the sex with them for the rest of your life to every single person you ever have sex with again. They want to basically ruin you for any other normal relationship. And the reason for that is that they can play you on this level like a violin or a harpsichord or whatever instrument you want to add in there, a banjo, okay? They can play you like a banjo because they control you. And that's key. And so that's why the sex is so extreme. That's why you have sex all over the place. That's why you have sex in the bathroom at the club. That's why you have sex at the dinner party that you have in the room without closing the door. And, oh, people just happen to see y'all. And the person that has borderline in the relationship goes, oh, wow. And then all of a sudden you're turned on too. And guess what? Another level of control. You've entered the seventh circle of control now. There's only 195,000 circles left. And at the end of 195,000 circles, you will have lost your complete identity and you will be a blob on the ground. Seriously, that's not far from reality. I've had friends that have had relationships with borderlines where they literally could not pick up the pieces of the breakup for years. For years. It was painful. And some of these people were like the gigolos. Okay, so I have a lot of guy friends. I was the best man in a couple of weddings, okay? I mean, oh, yes, I'm a woman, but I was the best man because I was the best friend. And yes, I got to wear a dress, which was kind of nice, you know, because I am a woman. But I got to pick out the ring and everything. And some of the weddings we didn't do that with just because they weren't as contemporary. It was more traditional. So I was the maid of honor. Or I was a bridesmaid. Okay. However, I've been around a lot of friends that have been in these borderline relationships. And so for the men that have been with the borderline women, I've seen men that people would be like, go on, playa, go play, playa. You know, they were always on top of their game, doing this, doing that. And when that breakup happens with that borderline, they can't get it together. They're inconsolable. They're calling me up, asking me for references of psychiatrists to prescribe some drugs for them, to help them be able to sleep, to help them be able to get to work, because they can't keep it together. And the worst thing is when they go back and forth. They go back over there, they resurrect the relationship, and the sex is back on, and then she kicks them back to the curb, and all this stuff happens, and then this is like, oh my God! Oh my God, Ashley! And it takes years for them to resurrect that mojo back. The mojo was gone. Yes, because it was stolen from you by control freak over there, borderline. Because they were controlling from the minute they met you. They controlled the situation, the atmosphere, the sex. They controlled your mind. They controlled how you feel. They control you. And with every time that they stand you up, and with every time that they don't call when they say they're going to call, control you more. Keep you waiting. Keep you interested. Especially when they call you at a very inconvenient time, drop everything, leave work, head over there. You don't even think about it. Even if you have to make up lies and deceit to get over there and deceive half the people you know and lie about everything, you'll figure out a way. You'll figure out a way, because you always have when it comes to this person. This person can make you do things you never thought you would ever sink low enough to do. And so let's talk about this, when they withhold sex, because that's another side of the borderline. There you are hanging out, you're having a few drinks, you think you're going to get lucky. They're talking sexually, they got you enticed, you're thinking about it. You're looking forward to it. And then it's like, bam, no sex. Good night. I got to go to work tomorrow. It was really great seeing you. Let's definitely get together on Friday and go do something. You want to do that? And you're like, oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, gosh, yeah, when? Friday night? Perfect. Oh, yeah. So there goes like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Still haven't heard from her, huh? Friday night at the time that you're all supposed to get together, nothing. And you didn't call because you thought maybe she'd call, whatever, but you know what? She did not call. And there you are, still thinking about her. Perfect borderline situation. And this works on both sides, women, men, ladies, gentlemen. For all you ladies out there who are messing around with a borderline, you're doing the same thing. The sex was really great. They're on your mind. They're constantly on your mind. But it's funny because they're so mysterious. They feel very mysterious. Like, you never really know what they're doing because they never really tell you. You are regulated to certain days of the week. Okay? And there's only certain things that you see. And it's interesting how they are very sexually right in your face. And they can start the biggest sexual conversations at the dinner table at the restaurant that's totally packed and not think anything about it. And that's how it goes. And then toward the middle of the relationship, they can begin to withhold sex. And you know why that is? It's because you've gotten close to them. You've gotten close to them. And the control factor has changed. And because you've gotten emotionally close to them and they're thinking about you now, they try to avoid it. And so one of the things that they do is they withhold sex. And a lot of times when you're dealing with the borderline, they might be having sex with other people too. I'm sorry, did I say might? I think the statistic when they did a study recently was like 82 to 85% of borderlines are having an affair. And so think about it. So if you are having sex with this borderline, they're probably having sex with someone else. Okay? And think about it. Whoever else they're having sex with, they're having the greatest sex of their life too. And the borderline knows it because they control it. And so that's one thing that you want to think about when you're dealing with a borderline. If a lot of these traits that I listed off earlier in the hour feel like they represent with the person you're having sex with, be careful, because you might want to consider protection at this point if you're not already using it. Because borderlines are very good about having multiple partners and not thinking twice about it. And if you call them on it, they'll kind of just divert the question. That's the way it works. Because if you call one and say, hey, are you dating someone else? You know, and the funny thing about borderlines a lot of times is that they might travel a lot, or there might be times in the week that you don't ever hear from them. They go silent. They go dark. And you kind of go, are they a free spirit, or are they dating someone else or whatever? And you know in your heart of hearts that it's not just you. You think someone with that kind of sex drive can just be you? I mean, I don't mean to burst people's bubbles tonight, because that's not what I'm here to do. But I am just saying, I'm here to tell the truth. You know what perspectives is about? Perspectives is the concept of we do what? What do we do? Well, what's my big deal in this? Less questions, more answers. Yes, less questions, more answers. Because you don't need more questions in your life. We all have these questions in our life. We don't need any more questions. Yes, and so a lot of times if you're having a relationship with a borderline, other people are too. And when they're holding back sex and they're withholding sex, that's a control thing too. Think about it. It's controlling you. You're not getting what you want, and they know what you want, so they withhold it back. It's not like, oh, you know, y'all been in a relationship for a long period of time and somebody's not feeling good, and so that's the key. No. This is a planned assault. Okay? And it's devised to make you think about them even more. Think about the last time you were in a relationship with somebody you consider mysterious. Does any of this ring a bell? Does any of this seem familiar? It should. Because it is familiar. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about being in a mysterious relationship that has a cornerstone with the concept of borderline. And I'm telling you, it's wild and crazy stuff. And it's interesting because when you're dealing with that and they're withholding sex and it's this whole power trip and this whole control, you're actually thinking about them more. Think about the last time you were in a relationship with a mysterious person, how much you thought about them. Think about that. How much you thought about them. At every waking moment, you wondered what they were doing, who they were with, what they were saying, what they were thinking. Were they having sex with somebody else? What was going on? Because you didn't hear from them. They went dark on you. You have no idea what's going on. And so your mind is running wild. And you're wondering, oh my gosh, what's happening? Am I missing out on something? What are they doing? I want to know. So in return, we're going to be talking about the pitfalls we have when we date a borderline, because we have a tendency. Well, we don't have a tendency. We compare the sex we have with that borderline with every other relationship we have, no matter how healthy the next relationship is. Because you know what? It's hard to disassociate sex with love, because you have to realize there's a difference here. Sex and love aren't really the same, especially when you're dealing with somebody that's controlling you. Okay, to make love is to one thing, to make control is a different thing. So stay tuned, we're returning talking about what it means when we compare sex from a borderline relationship into a regular relationship, and how to stop doing that, and how to actually realize what we have in a relationship outside of a borderline relationship. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about sexual relationships. Relationships that are sexually based with borderlines. And I think a lot of us might realize what a borderline personality disorder person is. And we've talked about some of those traits, and we talked about being borderline and what that means. And we talked about how the sex with a borderline can be the most amazing sex you've ever had. But we've also talked about how the sex with a borderline is one of the most controlling, manipulative things you'll ever deal with. You know, we've also talked about the extremes in these relationships, and because there is so much dysfunction, the sex is kind of like the one thing you have. It's the one thing that's going for you. And some of you might say, well, you know, heck, the sex is so good, I'm totally cool with all of this. But you know what? Eventually, that's going to lose its luster. Eventually, over the years, yes, the sex might be amazing, but all the fights and all the dysfunction is going to take you down. So right now, I want to talk about, if you're not currently in a relationship with a borderline, but you were before, or that might have been a highlight relationship. You know how some people say, you know, that was the love of their life or whatever. That got away, whatever. But you were in love as far as the sex was amazing with the borderline. And now you're in a relationship. Maybe now you're married. Now you have children. Maybe you've been married for a while. Maybe you're not. Maybe you've only been married for a few years. But, you know, the relationship's pretty normal. There's not a lot of dysfunction. You know, maybe you can almost feel a little bored, okay? But there's not a lot of dysfunction. But the problem with this now is that instead of finding comfort and being cozy and being happy and trying to light the fire in the romance department in this relationship, what are you doing? You're comparing the sex that you had with the borderline to your current relationship. And this doesn't work. And I understand that it's going to be hard, because you have this sex from the borderline that's like in the Sex Playbook Hall of Fame. I mean, you can go back to the videotape anytime you want. Some of you actually can go back to the DVDs or the videotape. But I was talking about in your mind. However, you begin to compare the sex that you have with the borderline with the sex that you have now, and you can't compare it. And the reason why you can't compare it is because you can't compare the relationship. If both relationships were with two borderlines, and the sex was the best thing you had in it, and everything else was falling apart like it was in that borderline relationship, or you didn't have it. And that's one of the things that I realize now, that I look back at some of these borderline relationships that I had. When I had relationships with people that have borderline, is I used to think, oh, well, we had certain things that we were good at and certain things we weren't. Well, you know what? We had sex, but we didn't have a friendship. And we didn't love each other because a borderline, when they're a real borderline, not just a narcissist, but a borderline, they can't truly love anybody. They can't love you. They don't love themselves. They're not going to love you. They can't even love themselves. So instead of love, take love out of that relationship and put in control. And the control factor is because of the abandonment issues. They don't want you to leave them. And the funny thing about it is there's no real love there. And so if you're comparing a past relationship where the sex was on fuego, but there was an absence of love, and the rest of the relationship didn't exist, or it had already fallen off the cliff, you can't compare that to a healthy relationship. Because if you compare the sex into the relationship you have now, you're going to go outside of the marriage or you're going to go outside of the relationship looking for a little excitement. You might start romancing the fact of getting back with your borderline. You might start romancing that. I've been at dinners before and lunches where I've met with people and they've talked about how they dated a borderline this and a borderline that and a narcissist and all kinds of things. I mean, multiple personalities. I'm like, what are you looking for? You know, and they said the crazy women, or when I was talking to women, the crazy men are the best sex. Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. If you're looking for sex, fine, go right ahead. But if you're in a relationship, remember that you can't sit there and there's no dots to connect between those two. And so the first piece of advice that I would offer you, if you're in a current relationship that is functional, it's not dysfunctional, it's a quality relationship, and you love your spouse or you love your girlfriend or you love your boyfriend, whatever, and you have all these great things going, and the sex is okay. It's not light your fire like the borderline. The first thing you want to do is realize that the sex was great in the borderline, but otherwise the relationship was a Jedi mind trick. There was nothing about that borderline relationship in you that had any sense of reality. It was all fantasy based, and it was never going to go anywhere. Okay? And if it did go somewhere and you actually married them, it would have been pain and suffering for however many years you stayed in the marriage. And I know men and I know women who are currently married to a borderline. Okay? And it's painful. Sure, sometimes the sex is great when they don't withhold it. Sometimes the sex is great when they're not screaming and yelling and throwing things. But for the most part, it's painful. And I have friends of mine that work very, 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 very hard, excruciating is just not the word, hard, difficult jobs. And they leave work late and they get home and they got to deal with the borderline. And to me, yeah, okay, the sex might have been, you know, light your fire, but think about it. Is it worth all these problems? And if you've exited stage right from a relationship with a borderline, and you're now in a functioning, quality relationship, you got to stop comparing the sex. And that's my second piece of advice, is you have to stop comparing the sex because it's only going to ruin your current relationship. It's only going to ruin it. Because think about it, if you compare the sex of the borderline to the current functional relationship, then you got to compare all other aspects of the borderline relationship with you and the current relationship, meaning that the one thing that would be on the side of the pros for the borderline would be the sex, and everything else would be on the other side of the cons, right? Pros and cons. Okay, you got the list, right? On the current relationship, if you got everything's in the pros, and you just want to have more sex, or you want to have more frequent sex, or the sex doesn't compare to the borderline sex, well, you kind of got it made. You got to let it go. Because to me, it's like you have to sit there and think about it. Okay, yeah, it might have been the best sex you ever had, but was it really? Because I'm about to change your mind on that right now. The reason why I feel that when we have sex with the borderline, why we think that that's the best sex we ever had is because we can never get close to them. You can never honestly get truly close to a borderline. and the closest you feel that you can get is having sex with them. And so you put a lot into it, okay? You put a lot into it. For example, if you were dating somebody that was in prison and all you could do was talk on the phone occasionally, you would put a lot into that phone call, right? Okay? Those phone calls would be the crux of the relationship. Now, think about this. When you're in a relationship with a borderline, you don't ever feel like you can, actually honestly touch them. It's so mysterious, and they go from such extremes, and there's so much mystery, and there's so much you don't know, and there's so many things about them that make you question yourself, and there's so many things about the relationship that make you question your sanity. All that stuff. Put that all together, okay? And when you're having sex with them, you're trying, it's like you're trying to get to know them. It's like you're trying to be a part of them. And you feel in your mind and your heart of hearts that as you're having sex with them, you're connecting with them. You feel like you're connecting with them. You're feeling like you're one with them. You kind of feel like you lose yourself in them. And you think that they probably feel the same, but they don't. And that's what you have to realize tonight. Is that when you had sex with a borderline, for them, it was only control. They wanted to control you in every aspect. And so the reason why the sex was so good was to control you. And the reason why it was really that good to you was because that's the closest you could get to them. Think about it. I'm right. It's the closest you could get to them. And, you know, it's almost like if you've ever been out on a few dates and everything, and then you have sex for the first time with just someone, not a borderline, but just a person. And, you know, usually the first few times you have sex with somebody, it should be pretty good. You know, it's not until later on that they don't put as much effort into it. And with and they do that to get the next date. They do that to propel the relationship to move forward, right? I mean, you never really hear, now I'm not saying this doesn't happen, but you never really hear anybody say, man, it wasn't until we were married for 15 years that the sex got way better. And for some people that happens, okay, because of the whole age and women and sex and all that stuff, but most of the time it doesn't. I mean, most of the time the sex is great in the beginning, and then maybe you have to sit there and try to relight the candle and light the flame, rekindle the flame. And so a borderline, it's a control concept. So the sex being so good is to control you. And then you wanting to try to get some control in the relationship puts more effort and thought into the sex. And you actually make that more emotional than they'll ever make it because they're not emotional. Again, this is another way and another device to control you. My third piece of advice is to realize what you have. And this is key. In life, a lot of times we don't realize what we have, and it's not until we lose it or not until we take it for granted that we realize it. And so step back and see your life. Step back and see your life from the way other people see it. Step back and see your spouse and see all the awesome things that they offer. Step back and realize the luckiness you have. And also realize that the sex that you had with that borderline wasn't real. It was control. And if you need to light and rekindle that flame in your marriage, do it. But stop thinking about past. Stop thinking about past sexual conquest and think and focus in the now. Because as you focus on your current status and your current relationship, you will make it better. You will make it awesome. And you know what's so cool, too, is that sex, when you really care about somebody and you love them, is that much better. We got a great show for you next, and stay tuned because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in three shakes.